You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So yesterday, the president signed through the latest in the round of bills that he'd been signing, and this was the climate change bill. Obviously, this is aimed at improving our position as a country in the world stage, but also ensuring that we get our carbon emissions under control, I suppose. And this comes with an array of changes for businesses and for you and I. I mean, there's obviously going to be some ramifications around climate control or climate change and things like carbon emissions. And we're taking a look at that. We're taking a look at the impact that this is going to have on business as we know it, on operations, but also on the environment as a whole. I'm joined on the line by Brandon Abdenor, who is the climate advocacy lawyer for the Center for Environmental Rights, to take a look at this. Good evening, Brandon. Thanks so much for taking the time. With all these changes and this new act that's now come into place, we now have something called carbon budgets. What does that look like?
Good evening, Jimmy, and good evening to the listeners. So carbon budgets are one of the mechanisms that are prescribed by the new Climate Change Act, and that's where the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, or that minister, will actually allocate greenhouse gas emissions limits to the larger emitters. So it's not going to affect individuals, but those businesses and those operations that emit relatively high levels of greenhouse gases will have that limit imposed on them, and that limit will get progressively stricter over time. So effectively, it's going to compel them to decarbonize their operations.
Brandon, when we look at the actual financial implications of this, obviously with the limits being in place, if you exceed the limits, you could potentially have something to, whether it's a penalty, whether it's a fine, whether it's needing to invest more or reduce your emissions. It definitely means that businesses now have to not only monitor their carbon emissions more closely, but also put in place measures to redress the amount of CO2 they're putting into the atmosphere, I suppose.
Correct. I think a good example for this is Eskom, because it's large and everyone sort of understands it and it's quite easy to follow. So in a situation like that, you've had this utility which has been generating electricity from combusting coal for the longest time. And with these carbon budgets and other emissions reductions imperatives that are coming online, they're going to have to change how they do that. And the obvious illustration here is switching to renewable energy and storage, which is something that's going to obviously take place over time. Nothing needs to happen overnight. But yes, so the way business is conducted will need to change. Obviously, the carbon-intensive industry, that's the most challenging. Electricity, petrochemicals, steelmaking, and the like. But it's also good to remember that from an economy-wide perspective, this switch to decarbonization then opens up other opportunities. In terms of penalties and fines, so this is one of the things we did push for, but that did not come through. So the way the carbon budget is going to be enforced, it's going to impose a higher carbon tax rate on greenhouse gas emissions that exceed the carbon budget, and that'll obviously hit businesses in the pockets if they fail to decarbonize adequately quickly.
Brandon, when we look at this new piece of legislation and all the things that come with it, there's now a Presidential Climate Commission that's going to be established as a statutory body. Is that a good thing? Do we need more commissions, or do we need the oversight because it hasn't been there in the first place?
We most certainly do, and it's worth bearing in mind that commission's been operational for 2 years already. It just didn't have the statutory backing until now. So two of the things that the commission does which are very important. Firstly, it commissions a lot of science-based research to support and underpin recommendations that it makes. And that really drills deeply into whatever the particular issue might be. Secondly, it also provides the forum where a social compact can be negotiated and agreed. So it's comprised of commissioners coming from business, labor, government and civil society. And this is where the sometimes difficult challenges of how to put a just transition in place are negotiated and finally agreed. So it's a very important space for coming to those agreements, for airing concerns, and for putting remedial measures in place so that whatever actions are taken in this decarbonization journey don't leave vulnerable people and communities behind. For example, workers in the coal value chain, We know that coal needs to be phased out, but it's not fair that those workers bear the brunt. So the just transition looks at how do we not leave anyone behind? How do we reskill people? How do we change the course of the economy so that the smallest number of people are impacted badly and the greatest number can benefit?
Brandon, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the implications that this new act or this new legislation will then have on our energy conversation. I mean, we've definitely gone through many loops and hurdles and conversations around just energy transition and all of that. And now with all of this coming into effect, we've actually split our ministries. It's no longer the DMRE. It's just Department of Mineral Resources. And then there's a separate energy and electricity ministry. But now, obviously, this sits within the Department of Forestry and Fisheries and the Environment. That's a separate, that's a third portfolio to the other two. But they will all have to work together from an energy point of view.
They will indeed. So the Environment Department allocates those carbon budgets, and that's done according to a prescribed methodology. What also happens is that that department comes up with what's are known as sectoral emissions targets in terms of the Act. So that really allocates the remaining available carbon space to different sectors. So there we're going to have a situation where energy, agriculture, human settlements, transport, whatever it may be, effectively are going to compete for that space. And that's where the sort of equitable allocation needs to happen very carefully. Energy, as challenging as it is to decarbonize, is in fact easier than steelmaking, for example. So it's fair to expect the energy sector to decarbonize more quickly because the technology does exist, the economics do support it. And while these mechanisms in the Act will compel and accelerate that process, it's been happening as a matter of course to some extent anyway, because we know that renewables are the quickest to build, they're the cheapest, and they're ultimately the most reliable. So the money speaks there, and it just makes financial sense to go that route. But with these tools in the Act, we're going to see that being more firmly enforced.
Brandon, one last one. Does this make the renewable transition easier or more complex?
In a sense, it should make it easier because we've now got this compulsion to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we know that because of that, we simply can't continue to burn coal, never mind the harms that would cause. So effectively having the teeth of the law to drive it in that direction should really make it easier. But it will need to work in tandem with other policies and processes. We have, for example, the South African Renewable Energy Master Plan, which is a sort of green industrialization process and aimed at accelerating and establishing a renewable energy industry. So, you know, if you look at the Act and that master plan together, then we can see a fairly clear path forward.
There's a clear path forward. There's legislation in place. We can all get it done. Thank you so much for those insights, Brandon. That's Brandon Abdenor, who is the climate advocacy lawyer at the Center for Environmental Rights, joining me to reflect on the new climate change bill.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.